never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
This is the night he takes me through a tour at a Kosciuszko Street sewer.
It's Sunday night. It's Sunday night still. And this is the place to be. The Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave, David Pollack, and we're here with John McDonough.
Here. You can reach me at offthemeter.net. If you want to hear about 40 years of driving a yellow cab here in New York City, I have a one-man play, and I can bring it to a theater near you. Offthemeter.net.
Hey, Johnny, you hear the Beatles in the background? We're going to be playing Beatles all show because towards the end of our show, we're going to have the founder of Beatlefest. He's going to call into the show. He'll be our guest. But our guest in the studio tonight is Graham Hodges. I'll introduce him in a second. We have Carolyn Protz.
Здравствуйте.
We have County Clare in the background. And we have another David Pollack here. Now, how many people have cousins with the same exact name? So I'm David Pollack. He's my cousin, David Pollack. Right? That's a little unusual. But how about this one? We both have the same birth date. Okay, same name, same birth date. There was a time in my life I wish I had a Social Security number. before we get started with our guest, David, why don't you tell us a joke?
Sure thing. Yeah.
Just talking to the microphone.
So this fellow goes to the doctor. The doctor walks in. He says, what seems to be the problem? Guy says, I am 95 years old. I have a 25-year-old girlfriend. We have sex every night of the week and twice on Sundays. The doctor says, well, that's great. That's amazing. But why are you telling me? He says, I'm telling everybody.
Okay, and that was Cousin David Pollack. Thank you. That's always good to start off. We hope we made you laugh. Because if we can give you information you can't get anywhere else and bring a smile to your face, we've done our job. Also, on a septic tank truck, somebody sent me a picture, and it actually says, written in small print under septic tank, caution, this truck is full of political promises.
I liked his.
True story. Our email here is, we're going to speak with our guest, and then you can call in a little bit and ask him questions or ask us questions. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com, and our phone number is 800-321-0710. Now, I had attended a meeting this week. It was called Fix New York. The speakers were from it was held by an assemblywoman and a state senator, and the main speaker was from was pushing for Move New York. His name is Alex Mathiason. He actually has a consulting firm, the Blue Marble Project, which is an environmental consulting firm. Also on the panel was Polly Trottenberg, who is the New York City Department of Transportation commissioner. She actually wants to come on the show, so we'll have her on later this month. Nicole Jelenis, who's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a columnist you've probably read in the New York Post. Another MTA member, Veronica Vanderpool, and just to let you know, I said another because the commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation has one of the seats on the MTA. So they had two votes. And before I talk about that, just there are so many statistics given out, which you'll all find interesting. Here's a statistic that Polly was very upset about. They spent $5 million on a golf course upstate. And they had their attorneys look into it, and it was totally legal. The MTA spent in 2017 $5 million on a golf course. I don't know if it was to use the golf course, to maintain the golf course, But what the hell are they doing with golf courses and up in New York State? You know, here we are, yellow cabs pay, passengers pay 50 cents on each fare. There's talk about congestion pricing and charging and giving the MTA more money. They are the most unaccountable. You know, if I did with my money as a kid, as a teenager, what they're doing with their money, my father would throw me out of the house. Okay, anyway, we'll get into that meeting a little later. And also, there have been one bill that was introduced up in Albany in the Assembly with the same as in the Senate, which I'll talk about in a little while. And also, an introduction from the commissioner, I should say the council member, who's the chair of the new for-hire vehicle agency, which is very interesting. Right, Carolyn?
Yeah, I'd say it's about fairness and public safety is the main thing. That's what it's about.
All right, that's why I pay you the big bucks. You're going to get a raise. Next week you get double of what I'm paying you for doing this show.
Okay.
Folks, she doesn't get paid. Okay. So, Graham Hodges is a professor of history at Colgate University, and he's the author of the book that you probably see in a lot of people's offices like mine, A Social History of the New York City Cab Driver. And he's also a former cab driver himself. He drove for 5 years at Dalk up on West 60th Street. Graham, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You know, we're having some discussions. So let's just start with something very simple. New York City is known for traffic. There's congestion. You're familiar with Bruce Schaller's report. You've heard what all the other professionals have said and what the politicians are saying. What is your take on the cause and how do we solve this congestion problem in Manhattan specifically?
I think it goes back to the roots. It goes back to the promise that the city made to its cab drivers over 75 years ago, that there would be a limit on the number of cabs driving in the street. And that worked for most of the time since then. Very recently, it's changed dramatically, and there are now 50, 75,000 new for-hire vehicles working the streets, competing with those drivers, not working under regulations, and that's wrong. And so I think that's where the congestion lies, that the city is not keeping up its end of its bond of attachment and agreements with the cab drivers.
Well, you are probably aware of what it meant for a taxi driver to get enough money for a down payment once upon a time to buy a medallion. What did it mean? You're a great author, you're a great orator, so let's just hear it from your mouth.
Well, the first medallions went for $10 back in 1937. And if you go down and look at the New York City archives, you can find a ledger book of the first medallion owners and see that a number of them turned the medallion back in within a few years. It's not until after World War II that medallions started accruing value, and there are very interesting cases at that time in which drivers who were selling their medallions, because they're retiring, they're getting out of the business, say that medallions worth more than $10 because it's the value of their business. And if you think about a cab as kind of a small grocery on wheels, okay, in which the driver is actually a small business person, it's an entry at least into the lower middle classes, and from there a chance to help your children go on. I met a very interesting guy who had been driving for 40 years. He was an owner-driver. He wanted to retire, but he no longer could. But during the time that he was driving, he put his daughter through Cornell. His son through Cornell, and his daughter went to West Point. That's it right there. The cab driver epitomized the American dream, and this fellow was able to accomplish that. And now he's not making enough money to retire.
That's happening to thousands of cab drivers.
Well, Dave, you take the phone calls. How many people said that they were planning on selling the medallion and moving down to Florida doing that? And now they're just barely staying alive, driving and just paying their bills. And just you're driving till they die.
We have a special caller. You may or may not know, my mother fell and broke her hip, and she's up in at Helen Hayes Rehabilitation, and I'm very proud of her because she will never watch the Oscars. Yeah, the Oscars when her son is on the radio. Ma, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
You know what, David? I am so fed up with all this baloney. We all know what's happening with Uber. We all know what's happening with the medallion owner. We all know what's going on in New York City. We all know that there is congestion. And why is there congestion? No one, what's the big secret? Uber schmuber, Uber schmuber. You know, the time has come already when the taxi limousine, what are they good for? I would like to know what is their position on this. They're letting these poor guys, one already committed suicide because he couldn't pay his bills. What is going on? Who is doing anything? Who cares, really? And everyone else just talks and speaks and they know everything about the cab. Well, what about these poor guys out there? Come on, guys. You're the ones that have to pay the bills. You can't because of Uber. Get together. Form a big surround the taxi limousine. Surround that big building. What are they doing? Collecting money for what? What are they doing for you? I would like to know. You all have to get together, because if you don't get together, I mean Uber is, it's here. You can't give it up. You can't unless somebody does something, and nobody is doing anything. And the only one that really has heart is Taxi Dave. You call him up for nothing. He tells you he's not interested in making a profit. He's not interested only in your welfare. And all of you cab drivers who are listening, call the taxi limousine and tell them you're fed up with them and you want them off. And you want Taxi Dave to take over.
Yeah, really. You would think that's my mother on the line.
Commissioner Dave Show.
Well, she sounds very much like Clifford Odets in his wonderful play Waiting for Lefty, which was the hit of New York City in 1934, and one of the big things.
You're really aging yourself, Graham.
Well, I've read about this. I don't go back quite that far. But although the play is still done today, it still has resonance, and it is about organizing. Unfortunately, as I point out in my book, the cab drivers have only been able to organize once, and then that was undercut by something I'd also like to call out, and that is the Lease Act of 1979, which I think has created many of the problems of today, because it made cab drivers into independent contractors. Which is nonsense. They're not. They're employees, mostly of big fleets. And for them to have to pay all the cost of earning a day's wages, something you and I didn't have to do in the 70s. You know, the fleet owner paid for the gasoline, the car, the insurance. After 79, that changes. And that opens the door to Uber and to Lyft 20 years later. So the Leestra Act is something that has badly hurt the cab driver.
Well, what's happened is those cab drivers who migrated, there are certain levels of Uber. If you're with UberX, that's like a revolving door for the most part. Am I correct, Carolyn? As far as
the lowest level? Yeah, some of those cars are turned over 3 and 4 times.
And basically it's because they're cutting so much of the pie between them.
Right. They're making $3.37 an hour, according to this study that MIT came out with, which would explain the 96% attrition rate. So it's a revolving door, basically.
And when you have people making half of the minimum wage and still have those expenses themselves, and I'm not only talking about yellow cabs. I'm talking about car service drivers, livery drivers, black car drivers. And maybe I shouldn't be, but we all have been affected the same way by what's going on. It's not just the yellow cab drivers.
Dave, I live in Queens, and we use car service out there. I have 4-1s and always ready. And I was talking to friends of mine who work for the car service. Their only business right now are medical centers and hospitals and older people who do not have iPhones. That is what their business is down to. Mm-hmm. If, God forbid, older people get iPhones and they're completely out of business. But that is all they do.
My mother does not have an iPhone. I just want you to know
well,
that.
Well, that's why she's not going to get
Uber. She supports her local car service.
But it's wiping out the car services of Brooklyn and Queens. That's almost all.
Really?
I think you're quite correct about the unity of the situation across the board. And by the way, going back to the wage level that Carolyn was talking about a couple of minutes ago, Uber's made a response. And when they said the data is flawed, although I have a lot of respect for MIT economists,
yeah.
More than Uber, I must say. Yeah. But even their response, I think the top level they had was $19 an hour, which comes out to about $40,000 a year if you're working full time. And that's as much as most cab drivers ever earned. So that's a big come down from what they were seeing a few years ago, that their drivers are making $90,000 a year.
The net that yellow cab drivers are making is probably, well, let's just put it like this. I am aware, factually, of drivers who work, and I mean they work very hard, and they may be working 7 days a week, but certainly 6 days a week. You still have the opportunity to make six figures. Over $100,000, grossing $100,000. I mean, I'm not making it up. I've seen the TPEP data on certain individuals who really know how to work. And so the medallion isn't dead. There's a value to that, regardless of what's going on out there. And now there are certain new laws. You know, there's a new sheriff in town, I think, is what Ruben Diaz Sr. said.
Yep, and he wears a cowboy hat.
Oh, God help us.
That's right, the Puerto Rican cowboy.
The vaquero.
Yeah, you know, the whole situation has changed dramatically just within the last 10 years. We were talking before the show about how about a few years ago the medallion hit $1 million in value, and then the city auctioned off some medallions at $1.3 million, which I thought was unconscionable because they were setting the rate there, which meant that cab drivers could not possibly buy that medallion. But that was just a few years ago. The medallion was skyrocketing in value, and now, of course, it's falling very badly. So we're sort of in a shock period right now. And I think, yes, if Uber is curtailed, if Lyft is curtailed, then the medallion might come back. So I hope the drivers don't dump what they've earned, so worked so hard to save over their lifetimes.
Graham, what was the switch over? I don't know if you have it in the book, between the horse-drawn carriages when it went over to gasoline-powered. Mm-hmm. Now, that would have been the Titanic shift then of new technology that was coming in.
True.
And did they fight the horse and carriages saying, listen, you know, we have the medallions here to take people around, look at these newfangled technology coming in, what are we going to do with that?
Well,
how did that transition?
Well, surprising as it may seem, when gasoline-powered engines were first introduced in the first decade of the century, and then the cabs came in 1907, this is the first page of my book, people were really glad to have them because while today people think horses are charming, then they weren't. They bit people, they kicked them, they could go on a rampage. When they died after two or three years of terrible overwork, they would block traffic for hours. So people were very happy to make that transition into a machine that would last for a while. And I think what you're also suggesting is that there was kind of a gee whiz quality to having an automobile. And I think that lasts for quite a while.
But that's happening now with Uber. It's
exactly.
A gee whiz. I hit the thing.
Yeah.
And the people are happy with it. See, that's the other problem. They're not complaining about the yellow cabs or anything like that. They're quite happy about the new technology and getting a cheap fare and having a car appear 1 minute after you hit the app, there's the car. Even though, you know, there's a car in every corner, but they don't care the passengers.
Would you say that's a e-hail, Graham?
Pardon me?
Graham, would you say that's equivalent to a street hail?
An Uber?
An e-hail, yeah.
It operates the same way as a radio cab. That's what it is. They're operating on radio waves. It's a newfangled dispatcher from a central point. That's what it is. But back to your point, what you're saying, there always has been the tendency among New York's middle class to view the cab driver as an extended servant of the household. Cab drivers don't see themselves that way. They're very uncomfortable with that. But people do that. And we're in a kind of conservative, anti-union era in which suddenly pressing a button and having a driver appear is a very attractive thing, because it sort of feeds your fantasies about being in charge, of being kind of well off, almost like having your own chariot prepare for you.
Right, it's aspirational, and in my opinion, it brings out the absolute worst in human nature.
Let's just, let me read a couple of emails. From Andrea, wow, your mom tells it like it is, a real straight shooter. Common sense, may God bless her, wishing her a speedy recovery. Andrea from Flushing, thank you for that email. Karen wants you to know that the improvement surcharge payments are due by March 7th. For those of you who don't know, in New York City, every time you take a yellow cab, there's a 30-cent surcharge. That's besides the 50-cent surcharge. The 30-cent surcharge is TIF, Taxi Improvement Fund, and that money goes towards wheelchair-accessible vehicles and the drivers who drive wheelchair-accessible vehicles. So, in essence, cab drivers are tax collectors for the city. They collect that TIF, Taxi Improvement Fund, 30 cents on each fare, and every quarter, at the end of the quarter, they have to mail the TIF money back in. That money is due March 7th. Thank you, Karen, for that information. And I'll read one more email, and then we'll take calls. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies, L-A-C-U-S. Go to lacustech.com. Drivers, you want to save time? You want to earn more money? Join Lacus, okay? This is from Tommy. I drive an accessible NV200. I have a love-hate relationship with the MTA accessoride fares. When it's slow and my meter rings, I'm ecstatic until I press yes and I have to wait at least a minute to confirm, and four out of five times it doesn't go through or it's given to another driver. That sucks because it takes too long and I will either miss a street hail or take a turn or exit where I didn't want to. I've also noticed that my wheelchair rides have significantly dropped to maybe 1 to 3 a week when it used to be 1 to 3 a day. Tommy. Well, there you have it, folks, from people actually driving on the streets. It's a live show. You can call in at 800-321-0710, or you can email us. That was interesting that he's seeing fewer accessible rides because there's this accessoride program where people who, everybody in New York has seen the accessoride vans pick up the disabled. Well, a portion of that is going to the yellow cab. So I would think Tommy would be seeing more accessible fares. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we have over 2,000 accessible yellow cabs. There's hundreds of accessible green cabs.
There's 2,500 accessible yellow cabs on the road today.
It is unusual. I'm surprised at this experience, especially because there are so many people with disabilities in the city.
Well, they don't know about the program. That's a problem. A friend of mine who drives a wheelchair-accessible cab was actually hailed in the street by somebody in a wheelchair, and she had no idea how to get a wheelchair-accessible cab. So we gave her all the information, the number, the website, and all that, but it's not being well-publicized. That's a problem.
Which is also a shame because Uber and Lyft are not doing a very good job on this at all. In fact, they're,
no.
they're declining to participate.
And there's all kinds of pilots that the Taxi and Limousine Commission is starting regarding the FHV industry. We had a show on that. If you want to see the new Taxi and Livery Times newspaper, go to TaxiLiveryTimes.com. That's TaxiLiveryTimes.com. If you want to hear this show or any other of the Taxi Dave shows, how you doing, Abe, down in Florida? He has his own website, and we've agreed I let him put the shows on his website. So go to NYCTaxiNews.com. That's NYCTaxiNews.com. You can hear the Taxi Dave shows. He has them archived. And for the Taxi Liver, and he also has archived the Taxi Insider newspapers. When I became TaxiLiveryTimes.com, I don't blame Abe. You know, Abe, he's a medallion owner, and he said, wait a second. My medallion used to be worth this much. Now it's worth less. I have a problem, Dave, with putting, you know, livery ads on my website. I said, you know what? That's okay. I am a peripheral business. I had the Taxi Insider newspaper, folks. I started my 19th year. And at one point, I had 5 car dealerships and 4 credit unions advertising in my newspaper. As of December, I had 0 car dealerships and, or maybe 1. But as of now, there was 0 because they told me they're going to stop running it, and 0 credit unions. I was hurt financially, and when you start losing money in a business, unless there's something wrong with you, you have to stop the business. So I was ready to put Taxi Insider, take it off the shelf, and stop working. In addition to that, Neil Weiss, who started the Black Car News, he started another newspaper, the Livery Times, and he had the same problem. So we were going to close two of the three newspapers in this industry. Instead, it was a tough decision, but we decided to merge. We save on distribution, we save on printing costs, and we save on art and layout expenses. And so you will read stuff about yellow taxis in the Taxi Livery Times, and you will also read articles and things about the livery business. So it's very unique, but it was the only way we could survive.
If I could put in a little plug for you on this, what you've been doing is extremely valuable for knowing about cab drivers and livery cab drivers over the last couple of decades. And I would strongly encourage you to, in some way, archive that. Make perhaps approach New York Public Library about them obtaining a run of this so that the future, people will know about it. Otherwise, it will simply disappear. One of the best sources I had for my book was the Taxi Weekly, which starts in 1927, was running up until just a few years ago. And it was an incredible source about who the cab drivers were throughout the 20th century. What kind of people, war veterans after World War II, got into the business, about picnics, about garages and who was who in these places. There was an extraordinary vitality mixed in with all of the other business. And so I would strongly encourage you to, in some way, make sure that the future has copies of what you've been doing.
Thank you, Graham. We're here with Graham Hodges. Graham Hodges has is an author of A Social History of the New York City Cab Driver. He's also a professor of history at Colgate University and drove a New York City taxi cab for 5 years. Gloria, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, everyone. I hope Mom feels better.
Thank you.
Has a speedy recovery. I love how she speaks. But as of a while ago, I've lost my total faith in the court system.
In the court system?
In the court system.
Okay.
I lost all my faith.
You're talking about the lawsuits against the city?
Yeah, all those judges dismissed our cases. So the only way and the only possible way that I see that the industry could be saved at all, it would be to fire all the elected officials, to fire all of the judges, and to not let these big corporations destroyed with corruption a system that has been in place for 100 years. Because they, like you said before, they killed the car selling business. They killed the credit unions. How many other people have to go down? It is all corruption. Uber, all those drivers, they're guinea pigs for Uber because they're just putting money in their pockets.
How much did Uber lose last year, Carolyn?
See, that's the funny thing. Even though Uber put all the risk on the backs of their drivers, they still managed to lose $11 billion. We haven't lost $11 billion yet. We're still in business. We're still making money. And the other funny thing about Uber is all the original shareholders, when they had a chance to cash out, they took the money and they ran. That was just a couple of months ago. So, you know, we're not dead yet. And those lawsuits aren't dead yet either, Gloria. The Article 78, that was dismissed and it wasn't appealed, but there's several other lawsuits that are still pending in state and federal court. And the Taxi Workers Alliance has a big lawsuit. Their drivers have a lawsuit against Uber, which may work out. That's in federal court. So we'll have to see. But basically, I think the regulators didn't properly regulate or carry out the regulations. The legislators didn't properly legislate. And it really shouldn't have wound up in the courts. Because I don't think the courts really want to deal with it, is my impression. But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
But I think there's also a theme that Gloria was talking about, and also Carolyn, that we need to have officials who are accountable, who can be kicked out by the vote, perhaps removed for other ways, but at least are working for the people. Because cab driving and cabs are part of a public
utility. Thank you, Gloria.
And that's why also you don't want to have businesses running this, businesses that don't have telephones, businesses who don't deal directly, who regard themselves as transportation platforms. You want to have accountable agencies who can deal with the problems of the industry and with of cab drivers.
And Dave, speaking about dealing with the meeting that you had this week, Fix New York or Fix What's Left of New York, what does that accomplish? Or what was the purpose of it? And do you find, because I don't know how you do it, you go to more freaking meetings, the TLC and this and that, and do you find, do these meetings accomplish anything?
Well, to me, information is king. And the more you know what's in people's heads, the more statistics you hear, the more you know what direction different agencies, different organizations, associations, politicians, MTA members were there on the panel. A bus person was there on the panel, and a Move New York person who was in favor of congestion pricing, along with Polly Trottenberg. We'll get into that. We're going to take a short break now, and then we'll come right back. Okay, we have some phone calls. I know you're on the phone at 800-321-0710. I will talk a little bit about that meeting, that the last meeting I was at. And ironically enough, I'll tell you this. I get out of the meeting. Now, I have NYP plates on my car. Right around the corner, two spots with NYP. In one of them was a commercial vehicle. And there's empty commercial spots all over. So I parked in a commercial spot in front of him. I came out. I had a ticket on my car. And the commercial van didn't have a ticket on his car. You can't help... New York, $115, folks. Anyway, you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Hereford Insurance Company, which includes subsidiaries of All Taxi Management, Pearland Brokerage, and All Taxi Leasing, as I said, Pearland Brokerage, and what else? And Hereford, and also Lacus Technologies, okay? They're affiliated with NYCTaxiGroup.com. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. If you're a driver, you really should join Lacus Technologies and get the Lacus app. Okay? The idea is to get up in the morning, go on your iPhone, and get your cab without having to go to a garage. You get your cab on the street, if there are cabs there. Okay? It's been so popular, it's getting tougher, and right now, it's good to sign up now, because when they get more medallions, and they're planning on getting a ton more medallions, when they get more medallions, they're going to need hundreds of drivers. So right now, you should sign up. Go to the Lacus app. Do it after the show. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day. If you speak to them out there, out in Brooklyn on McDonald Avenue, tell them you heard about it on the Taxi Dave Show. L-A-C-U-S. Lacus, L-A-C-U-S.
The Taxi Dave Show.
Before you pay your next premium, check with Hereford Insurance Company. They have the most competitive prices, and they're specialists for the New York City transportation industry. They have workers' compensation and liability for medallions, black cars, car services. They insure ambulettes. That's Hereford Insurance Company. And Hereford Insurance Company wants you to know that insurance fraud is a crime punishable by fine and jail. So if you want to report insurance fraud, call 1-866-HEREFORD. That's H-E-R-E-F-O-R-D. 1-866-HEREFORD to report insurance fraud. They have a special investigations unit, and they will investigate.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
The best show on WOR. It's the only show I listen to. Lucy in the sky.
Back. Noah, it sounds like the Beatles, folks, but that's the Grateful Dead playing the Beatles. Pretty cool. Okay, we're brought to you by Hereford Insurance Company, whose subsidiaries or sister companies are All Taxi Management and Pearland Brokerage. Renewal time, the end of February. If you missed it, too bad. You have a lapse of insurance coverage, but you should go to either Pearland Brokerage or the advanced taxi brokerage in Brooklyn. Those are the two places you should go. John, I did go to that meeting, and It started with the premise that traffic used to be, in 2012, traffic went 6.5 miles per hour, and now it's down to 4.7 miles per hour in 2017. Also the premise that there have been 8 toll increases since 2000, 6 fare increases on the MTA. Every 2 years, the MTA subway goes up, and there's only one group of freeloaders, the people who take the 59th Street Bridge, the Williamsburg Bridge, etc., all the free bridges. So he was setting the premise for the congestion pricing that's coming. But I was curious, who pays him? Yeah, from Move New York and the Blue Project. I was really curious about that. There were a lot of great stats. Polly Trottenberg, one of my questions was asked, and another taxi question I was telling you about, Carolyn. One of the questions was...
The bus lanes?
Why isn't there a moratorium on the issuance of FHV licenses? And she mentioned Bruce Schaller's report, who was on the show, who said they definitely are the cause of traffic in New York City, without a doubt. And then another question someone asked was, why can't yellow cabs with passengers use the bus lanes? And I know that there are countries that, you know, New York City says, oh, we have to be like England, like France, you know, with the bus lanes. Well, guess what? You know, in England and some of the other countries, cabs can use the bus lanes, but not in New York. Oh, no. Oh, no. Definitely not.
And taxis aren't charged congestion fees.
There's
in
two
London
things.
Either.
I mean, the police officers are very good. Come to terrorism, we are the safest. What's next on the list? Yellow cabs, you better not go on those bus lanes. Okay, there's going to be a problem. Anyway, Gabe, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, everybody. You guys were talking earlier about unity with the drivers and the owners. I just think it's funny because, really, historically, our unifying force, our Travis Kalanick, was the TLC and the TLC commissioner. You know, they're charged with improving cab service to make it technologically updated. They're saying we have to up our game, but meanwhile, they're the ones that are telling us, you know, what to do and how to do it. Do you remember the flowers on the hoods and the trunks?
Sure, flower power, baby. I still have my flower cup.
I mean, those were the days before the TLC abandoned us and treated us like we're a brand. We're a taxi and they're Uber, and we should both compete. But it's not really fair. And the other thing I wanted to add is I really feel like a big reason why all this happened is because the TLC commissioner just let anything come in as a black car, as she said at the council hearing.
A black car is anything now. A black car can be a green car.
Okay, I'll leave you guys to that.
Boy, we have callers who tape meetings. I don't have any tapes of anybody speaking. Amir, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How are you, Mr. Dave?
Okay.
You promised me we're going to find out who used to send a message and the GBS to say there is a fair opportunity in Javis Center between what and what. But last Sunday, the guy charged a lady $40 from 36 and 11 to 34 and 7. And the security, he fights with the driver and he takes a lady out. I discussed with him how I get this message. We cannot get this message anymore. I wish to know who stopped this message. The guys, the rep of the people, they have a power to stop this message comes to the cab driver? Or why he didn't send the message anymore? Just they need the people rub off the black car rub off the people.
What, Amir? Okay, let me just tell our listeners. Stay on the phone, Amir. What Amir is saying is Javits Center, to go from the Javits Center to Penn Station, someone was charged $40. On the yellow cabs were slow at the time. If he knew, there's something in the front of a yellow cab called the driver information monitor. And at one time, when there were certain things going out, like conventions, they would put it on the driver information monitor. Emergencies.
Or the boat coming into Red Hook in Brooklyn.
There you go.
They would tell you the ocean liner just came in, get out to Brooklyn.
Right. So he's wondering why he doesn't get those messages anymore, because people are being ripped off. And who's in charge of giving the drivers a message on the driver information monitor, known as the DIM. And it's a valid point, because others are being ripped off by some of those 130,000 FHVs picking up street hails illegally, where, guess what? There is no money taken for the MTA, and there is no money taken in the TIF fund to help the disabled community either. Okay. Oh, brother. So now that we're up to date here in the 2018, there is one other thing that I want to mention. There is a bill up in Albany. The Senate bill is 7331, and the Assembly bill is 8936. But, and the bill provides the issuance of 1,350 clean air medallions. Very, very interesting. Just found out about it. I was looking at it. It's nothing in detail, but it's in both houses. And does this mean they're exempt from being wheelchair accessible? Does this mean that they will always be wheelchair medallions? They will always be, I'm sorry, fuel-efficient medallions? Well, a lot of drivers like those Camry hybrids, folks. And as of yet, you still can't get them. So that was something that you're only going to hear here. Here. I love when two words that are the same word follow each other and they have different meanings. You're only going to hear it here. Here.
I think the nice point you're making, though, is that, and this is something that would have been heretical 20 years ago, but they're thinking about adding more medallions. These are ways in which people can get stakes within the city. I hope that they don't start charging hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. I hope they can be at a price that the ordinary person can afford if they want to get into the business. And I hope that they cut out certainly at that number, if not many more, the for-hire vehicles, and try to attract those guys back into the industry with a possibility of a regular job.
Well, let's talk about the 1920s. I just want to read a quick email here. We have some people. You know, I read something that was on a septic tank truck. So here's something from Mo, a radiator shop in the Bronx. Best place in town to take a leak. Okay? Thank you so much for that. Very relevant. But a muffler shop. Okay? Outside a muffler shop. No appointment necessary. We hear you coming. Ba-dum-bum. All right. So, you know, you said that there is some analogy between the 1920s and current taxi industry.
Cars are new in the 1920s. They're a whole new way of traveling. People are very interested in doing it. There's a romance to it. There's a lot of postcards, a lot of songs made out about finding love in a taxi cab, falling in love with a cab driver. It's the kind of thing that young people would get into just to have fun and drive like hell around the city. The problem was that the big car companies started dumping cars in the city, and those people were given licenses, and so by the mid-1920s, there are no regulations, fares are going up and down by the hour, by the weather, and there's a lot of congestion. By 1929, that prosperity, which had held up the industry for a number of years with all this chaos, falls apart. We know what happens after that, the Great Depression. There's even more drivers. Mayor LaGuardia, our greatest mayor, finds a solution to this through the Haas Act, which creates the medallion in 1937. Now, right now, people in New York City are riding, some people are riding pretty high. There's a lot of money in town. I hope it stays that way, but likely there will be some kind of shakeout. And at that point, there's going to be a lot more people wanting to drive cabs or drive for hire vehicles. So the situation actually could get even worse. What I'm saying is that at some point down the road, the city is going to, and it's getting close to this because of the congestion reasons, but there's going to be other factors involved too. Crime, accidents, is going to really want to clamp down hard and regulate transportation, because this is part of the public interest. It's for the drivers, and it's for the public as well. They need to know that the cars they're going to be in are safe, driven by people who have been licensed in some way. At that point, they were always registered with the police. Okay. We could come to that point. I certainly don't want a depression to happen, believe me. But I can foresee a time when the gee whiz quality of the Uber app is going to fade and people are going to see the need for the city to step in a very positive way to limit the number of cars, to set the fares correctly, and to ensure that everything works right for the public and in that way also for the driver. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to find a different way of paying them. Not the lease hire, but a commission system. Cab drivers historically always wanted a wage. Can you imagine that?
So are you saying that you think a taxi union would benefit the industry in general?
Of course taxi drivers needed benefits. And I think that we've had somebody, Bhavi Desai, who's been doing wonderful work for 20 years. I think she is a New York City saint. It's tough to organize cab drivers. It's only happened once in the 60s when the Mayor Wagner was completely behind it. Can you imagine that in 1966 there were rallies in Madison Square Garden with 50,000 people with the mayor leading it to organize cab drivers? That's almost unthinkable today. What I am saying is that whether they're unionized or whether they are organized in some other way, if the cab driver has a better deal, everybody has a better deal.
Okay.
Well, you were saying we shouldn't do it on leasing. We should do it on percentages, what we make. Isn't that what Uber and Lyft are doing?
Just wages.
But Uber and Lyft do it according to their economic models. The way it worked before was that it was done by the city. They regulated it. And they didn't change things willy-nilly. They didn't change things according to whether there was too much traffic or a thunderstorm. They did it after careful legislation over a number of years. So you know what to expect. And I think that perhaps for cab drivers to get an actual wage may be too pie in the sky. But it's something that they've sought over time. I mean, I know it sounds really, really utopian. But I'll say this, maybe you can think about this too, Dave. When I drove, the first day I drove, I had 17 cents in my pocket. And I asked the dispatcher, I said, would you give me a couple bucks so I can make change? He looked at me and said, maybe your first fare will have the right amount. And so I went out there on the street not having any idea what I was doing. And at the end of that evening, and this is 1971, I had 75 bucks in my pocket. That was an incredible feeling. And you could translate that through inflation today and think about how much that was, but it was a living wage for me at that point. I loved it. And I eventually wound up being a 49 percenter. I was just shy of being a 50 percenter, which is somebody really had spent more time in the business. But I made money every night. Every night.
Well, those were good times back then. Okay. You've been listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies, LACUS.
Well, you had a new advertiser there.
Yeah, that would have been nice, huh? The drivers who want to save time and earn more money, join Lacus at lacustech.com. You can check it out. Also, Hereford Insurance Company, along with All Taxi Management and Pearland Brokerage, and along with NYCTaxiGroup.com. So, you've heard Beatle music at the beginning of the show, in and out of our bumpers for the commercial. With us now, real quick, is Mark Lapidus. Mark Lapidus is the founder of the Beatles Fest. That comes.
We all live in a yellow submarine. All together. Do a pass on your Beatles.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Now, you realize that Ringo wrote about a yellow submarine, okay? Well, Ringo and I were talking about it one night. But anyway, with us now on the Taxi Dave Show is Mark Lapidus. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Fantastical. So why don't you tell our listeners in the metropolitan area and all over the country who listen online and all over the world, we got emails last week from England and other countries, what's happening regarding the Beatles?
Well, I've been doing the Fest for Beatles fans since 1974, since I asked John Lennon for permission, and he said, I'm all for it, I'm a Beatles fan too. And our 44th annual show is this coming weekend, Friday, March 9th through March 11th, at the Hyatt Regency Jersey City on the Hudson. It is a 3 minute and 11 second pass train ride from the World Trade Center.
Not just 3 minutes, but 3 minutes and 11 seconds.
I was there on Wednesday, so I wanted to clock it because we've been telling people 5 minutes. I'm from New Jersey, I don't go to the city that often by train.
Ooh.
I decided to clock it. It was 3 minutes and 11 seconds from one stop to the other. So it's very convenient for everybody in the New York metropolitan area to get to. And we have a fantastic lineup of special guests this year. For all those who remember the 60s and the British invasion, we have Peter Asher from Peter and Gordon and Jeremy Clyde from Chad and Jeremy. So one half of the two biggest British invasion groups of the 60s will be together for the very first time, Peter and Jeremy. They'll be doing a talk and concerts on both Saturday and Sunday. We also have the legendary Billy J. Kramer from Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. He'll be having a fresh talk about Liverpool, what it was like growing up in Liverpool, around the music, through his eyes and ears, because he was a musician and was very close to the Beatles. And then he'll be bringing his band in on Sunday for a concert. We also have Liverpool, the world's finest Beatles tribute band. They've been with us for almost 40 years. They'll be doing tributes for the 50th anniversary, for the White Album, and for Yellow Submarine, which was all the music that you just played for me while I was waiting for you. And 50 years since those two classics came out. Neil Innes from the Ruddles will be there, coming in from France. He was the main writer in the 7th Monty Python.
Well, you do have a lot of shows over there, but there is also a lot of interesting memorabilia.
Yes, I was going to get to that. One of the giant rooms of the hotel is for Beatles. The vendors come from all over the country and have a wide assortment. You can buy things for a dollar. You can buy things for $10,000. It's an amazing assortment of merchandise.
They actually had an actual gold album from the record from a record company that was given to the Beatles on sale for $100,000.
Yes, yes, and signed album covers. Bringing that much money or more, because they didn't sign them that often. Believe it or not, they didn't sign that many albums.
Well, Ringo did for a few decades, but now he stopped. Enough is enough.
Well, he did it solo. I'm talking about as all four Beatles.
I see. Well, so we know John stopped signing first, right? Take it easy.
Yes. We also have, there's a Beatles jukebox, a Sgt. Pepper jukebox that's being made. We're going to have one of the only two in the world at the show next weekend. And the company that's making them, they're only making 100 of them. And they'll be offered for sale.
Okay. So where is it and when is it again?
It's this coming weekend, March 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Hyatt Regency, Jersey City.
And if somebody wanted to buy tickets?
You go to thefest.com, fest.com. All the information is in there. I also wanted to tell you that we have a couple of special performances on Saturday afternoon with the Birds of Paradox featuring Roy's Boys, three of Roy Orbison's sons.
Really?
They'll be there for the first time, and they'll be doing a tribute to the Traveling Wilburys, of course, which their father, Roy Orbison, was a member. And they'll be doing some songs from that album and some other Roy Orbison songs. And
Roy Orbison, unbelievable.
Yes,
one of my favorites
of
all
time.
All right, so I was there last year, and the Beatle Fest was fantastic.
Thank you.
Claire and I really enjoyed it, and you know the entertainment and the memorabilia was amazing.
Thank you very much. We have also an art museum,
Mark
photo
Lapidus,
exhibits,
unfortunately,
video rooms, discussions, trivia competitions.
If you like anything about the Beatles, that's the place to be this coming weekend. Mark Lapidus, thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
25 states from Canada, from England.
And I want to thank Graham Hodges, the author of A Social History of the New York City Cab Driver, for being on the show. John McDonough, as usual, Carolyn Protz. Go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/TaxiDave. If you want to keep hearing the show on the air after March, folks, all I need is 100 people to donate $100 each, and we're in business, okay? In the meantime, thank you all, listeners. Thanks, Mom. Get better, and I got to go now. Taxi! Take me and Graham out of here!